I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
We met on this sugar baby traveling site. We get a text message. So I go to look at the message, and the text message was in Italian. And it roughly Google translated to a ransom note asking for $500,000. I start to accept my sister's idea of this just being a big scam. Out of nowhere, I get another message. And this time it's in English, and it sounded like him. What the fuck happened? He's not stupid enough to think that I actually have $500,000 lying around.
I mean, he wasn't, but apparently this foreign government was. She'll explain later. Hey, what's up? It's Abby from The Breakup Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Do you ever get curious about somebody else's breakup? Maybe it's someone you followed on TikTok, or maybe it's someone you know from your personal life that you follow on Instagram, where you can kind of tell they're going through a breakup and you've always been curious, but of course you're not going to ask because that's socially unacceptable. Well, that's how this podcast got started. I take submissions of all kinds, whether it's your own curiosity from someone you follow, or maybe it's something you saw on TikTok that you want more information on, or it's your own breakup story. Whatever it is, I'm always open to hearing new stories because we love hearing what happened and getting some good lessons along the way. If you've got a suggestion and a tip for the podcast, head down to the episode description. You'll find a submission form to tip me off on a story there. And as always, if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, you can find timestamps in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Thank you for tuning in to the final main episode of season 5. So happy that we've made it this far. We have a really good episode today. I am always excited to put out an episode every week, but there are certain episodes that I'm just really pumped to get out because I know you're going to be just as entrenched in the story as I was listening to it. You know how it is. There's always those handful of stories every season that just really get you. And this is definitely one of those because we have a submission where someone says their sugar daddy went totally MIA after he and his family were under investigation. But before we get into that, every week we give a different shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country. And this week we are raising awareness for Greenhouse 17 in Lexington, Kentucky. They're an advocacy agency committed to ending intimate partner abuse in families and in the community. So to find out more details on that organization, you can find details in the episode description. Okay, so let's get into the submission. When I saw this submission, my ears instantly perked up because we've never had a story about the sugar baby lifestyle. I mean, if you listen to this podcast every week, you know, we get a lot of relationship stories of people who have been together for a really long time. And there's a lot of common themes that we see. I mean, cheating's one of them. Obviously, every now and then we'll get the occasional husband fucking someone's mom, you know, just to spice things up a little bit. But when I saw that somebody wanted to talk about their sugar baby, sugar daddy breakup, I was like, hello, this is new. So the submission said that they met this guy through a travel companion website and they had really hit it off and started a mutually beneficial situationship, which is my kind of situationship because all the situationships I have been involved in were never mutually beneficial. And this person says they had a whole vacation planned when suddenly he just disappeared out of nowhere. He ghosted her. And so then months and months pass. When he comes back, he says, hey, by the way, I've been gone because I've been trying to find my dad because he was arrested abroad for a very serious charge that I won't give away, but it was a really fancy word and I had to Google it. But let's just say it's the kind of thing that you would probably only hear in a James Bond film, or at least that's what it sounded like to me. So of course I was wildly curious about what went down and wanted to get all the details. So let's find out what happened when we break down this week's breakup.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So basically what happened was I was in my early 20s. I had just gone through like a really bad breakup previously. And we met on this sugar baby traveling site. The reason I even got on it to begin with was because one of my friends had previously done something like this. And like her and the guy that she was traveling with had like gone to like four other countries before. And she was like, he pays for everything. Everything's great. He's attractive. So like all of the things that they would do on the vacation really wasn't like, it didn't feel like a chore. It just felt like a free vacation. And when you're freshly out of a relationship and it's like the idea of being able to like travel to other countries that I personally wouldn't have been able to afford at the time, like it just sounded like a really enticing, fun idea. And also, you know, like when you get out of like a really serious relationship, you're kind of like in your crazy phase, like you kind of just want to do whatever you want to do because now it's like you live by nobody else's rules but your own. So that's kind of what drew me to it. And while I was on the site, I was like casually just like scrolling through and I see that in my DMs, there's like a little message and I'm like, I'll bet like somebody wants to take me on vacation. Like, let's do this. So I go and I look at it and it's from this guy, we'll call him Yaya. And he had texted me and was just asking me like little basic questions about myself. And I was like, all right, bet. Like, we're just getting to know each other. Everything's cool. I went to his profile where you can like search their like upcoming trips. And I noticed that he was from Italy and the trip that he wanted to take was like on the islands of Italy. And I was like, a little weird that like you only want to go to like the islands of your own country. Like, it's not like we're like going somewhere else. But also, like, I don't live in Italy, so, like, I would have a full vacation out of this. So, like, that's totally fine with me. So we were just talking, chit-chatting. We eventually moved over to WhatsApp because given the fact that, like, he's in Italy and I'm here, it, like, texting is just too much of a mess. So we moved over to WhatsApp because that's just easier to text when you live in different countries. So we started chit-chatting there. We were having a whole conversation about, like, me going to Italy, where I wanted to vacation at, and all that fun stuff. Like, just, like, getting an idea of, like, what he wanted to do, what I wanted to do. And then we just, like, started getting to know each other. And during the point of getting to know him is when I realized, like, he's not a bad guy. Like, sometimes when you're talking to these guys, like, it kind of feels icky, but he never gave off that vibe. Like, it all felt very kind and sweet and genuine. And he in general is a very like kind, sweet, genuine, like lovable type of person. Like, it's very hard to not want to be around them. So I think that's what really drew me in to like just wanting to be around him all the time. While we were talking in this phase, he did make it very clear from the beginning that he was married and that he didn't have any kids, and that in Italy, due to the nature of his job, because he owned like this really massive like company, he's like, if we were to divorce, she would basically get everything and I would lose everything and I'd have to start all over. It's easier to live as roommates and just let her live at home and me pay for everything than it is for me to give her like over half of my income. Like, that's ridiculous. So I guess they had kind of two, my knowledge, because I didn't push further than that, because I was like, your home life is your business. It's not my business. Like, it's not my wife. It's not my family. I don't care. Like, again, I'm like 21. So like, thinking about other people's feelings really wasn't in it for me. It was pretty much like me. And you want to take me to Italy. And that sounds like a great idea for me. So I didn't really think about it. Didn't really care too much. But he did make that very clear, so that like, if he had to go for any reason, or if he kind of just like, couldn't talk for a certain period of time, like I understood why at a certain time when he got home we could not talk any further, because like he's also not trying to like get caught doing anything stupid like men. Like, it's fine. that was pretty much the reason why he was even looking for a companion in the first place, is because like he and his wife were not in a great position. So he wanted to take the vacation, but he didn't want to take the vacation with her. So I guess that's kind of why he was on there. And then of course, like I was on there cause I like travel and
for free.
I like for free. Yeah. So I was like, this is going to be great. So we started talking every single day. Like it wasn't even about the vacation at that point. Like it's like just casual talking, like the relationship started building. And it became like an everyday event. He called me on my way to work. He asked me how my day was going. He knew about like my job and like was very tuned in to things about me, which made me really happy because I'm like, he really likes me. And that also was making this vacation more exciting because it's like, you really like me. I'm at this point, like, I really like you. So now it kind of feels like I'm not vacationing with some guy I met online. It's now like we formed this sort of kind of relationship. And now it feels kind of like vacationing to a romantic country with your boyfriend. And I was kind of like really loving that vibe. Every once in a while, he would accidentally call me his girlfriend. And I was like, okay, that term doesn't make me feel bad. We never had that conversation. But I was like, the term doesn't make me feel icky. I'm like, you can keep using that. That's cute. While we're like, I made a joke about like, while we're on vacation, you have to call me that. Like, you have to call me your girlfriend anywhere that we go. Like, that's going to be super cute. And he was super into it. So it's like, we just got a lot closer and stuff. So we got closer to like the time frame that he wanted to plan a vacation. And he's like, I really like Airbnbs because Airbnbs are a very home style, like hotels just are hotel-y, but like Airbnbs feel cozy. And I feel the exact same way. Like if I travel, I 100% wanted to be in an Airbnb before I ever wanted to be in a hotel. It just feels more like a home away from home. So he was like, you can pick the Airbnb, pick whatever you want. He's like, but your limit is like $600. And I'm like, bet, I'm a budget girl. You know, I can find the vacation was supposed to be like 2 weeks. So I was like, I can like manage to find a decent Airbnb for like $600 for 2 weeks. And he's like, no, like a day. And that's when I was like, what? I was like, a day? You're sure? He's like, yeah, $600 a day is like your cap. And I'm like, okay. So that totally changed the Airbnbs I started looking at. So then I started looking at ones that were like, had like a terrace and like a pool. And the one we ended up choosing was like this really pretty one where it's like, it came like with a full kitchen stocked. It came with like a little, like you can go out onto the patio and there's like a pool built into the patio and you can just chill there. So I was like, during the day when you're like, you're working or you're chilling, I can still be in the pool and be hanging out. And like, it was really fun. So I was like, I love this. So we picked it. He booked it, sent me the confirmation of it being booked and everything. Share, you know, like on Airbnb, like you can share your plans with someone. Yeah. So he shared the plans with me. And I could literally see it on my Airbnb. And that's when it like really clicked, like, oh shit, this is real. Like, I'm actually going to go to Italy and I'm actually going to go on a vacation with this guy that I've never, ever, ever met before in person. Like, we FaceTime. So I know it wasn't like a catfish situation. Like, I'm obsessed with that show. So I was very cautious about like catfishing. So like, we had a FaceTime pretty early on. Photo matched the photos, voice matched his voice. Like vibes were still there even on FaceTime. It was very, very fun, very casual, very like we had known each other forever kind of vibe. So I was never like worried about him or anything, which was a good thing because like that was just the vibe he was giving. So at the point where I realized it was real, that the vacation was real, I think that's when in my mind the switch happened. It was no longer like this is a transactional thing, like you're giving me a vacation for me to like dance around with you in Italy. Like now it's like, I genuinely have real serious, strong feelings for you. I wouldn't quite call it love at that point, but we were definitely moving in that direction. And he had already expressed that like, he had not felt this like childish, lovey, giddy feeling for years. And that he was really enjoying just having someone who brought that out in him. Oh, the other thing is there was an age gap. I forgot to mention the age gap. He was like mid to late 30s and I'm like 21. So for me, I'm like, once you can legally drink, like the age doesn't matter to me. As long as the vibes are there, like it's like, whatever. Like If we can't go to a bar together, though, that's a problem. So there was a little bit of an age gap, which is why when he was like, you make me feel so young again. And I'm like, you're not old, but like, I do get what you mean. Like, you feel like a 20-year-old prancing around the city. Like, I love that for you. And I love that for me. So that was really, really good. We started planning out like vacation spots. And because we are going to be in Italy, I wanted to like go see like some theater there. I wanted to go see like all of the main like spots of Italy. I wanted to go like all of the things that you would see on like a, like imagine having like an Italy brochure in front of your face. I wanted to go everywhere. I wanted to go to every single possible location. I wanted to do the, you know, like how Italy has like those little boat rides where they're like singing and like playing music for you. Like I wanted to do that, but then I also wanted to be on the complete opposite end of the country and do something else. And he was 100% down for all of it. He's like, we've got 2 weeks. If we have to extend it to get everything done, we can extend it. Like, he's like, don't worry about that. He had also at this time offered like, if we do extend it, like I will help you with the bills at home, because I know that like you can't just willy-nilly extend your vacation. And if I want you to stay with me, I'm going to make sure that you are financially taken care of in order to stay with me. And I was like, okay. Like at this point, like I had never had a boyfriend who was like that. I had never had somebody who wanted to take care of me, who wanted to do things for me in order for me to be able to be with them. And it felt very princess treatment, like very royalty treatment. And I was absolutely in love with that. So we start making plans for all these locations in Italy that we're doing. He's booking all the locations and stuff, sharing everything with me so that I can make like the itinerary, because I'm a checklist girl. I love having my checklist. I love checking off all the things. I love planning. Like planning the vacation is almost as fun as having the vacation for me. And he knew that. So he would like send me every single little thing. It was great. So it got to the point where it's like, it's time to book the flight. And this is like a very, very serious thing. Cause at this point, like if you're booking my flight, you have to have my full name, like my real full name. And like, it's a lot of personal information, which is why we saved it for last. Cause it's like, up until then, it's like, you're booking all of these things and it's like plus one or with a guest or something like that. Now it's like, I am giving you personal information of mine that like you, I have to just trust you with it. So we go to book the flight that day. And we have a conversation and ghost, gone. I send him a message and then like, he's not responding. And I'm like, okay, time difference. There's a big time zone. Maybe he fell asleep. Like maybe he was sleepy texting me and he fell asleep. Not a big deal. I was like, go on with my day. I'm hanging out, going on with my day. It's a great time. Radio silence the next day. And the next day.
How long had you guys been talking at this point?
I would say that we had been talking for maybe 3 or 4 months at this point.
This is a significant amount of time. And so what information did you give him for
the up until then, we had only talked about like my job and stuff like that. As far as the actual flight, the only thing that I gave him for the flight was my first name, which he already knew my first name. I never use a random one. But then my last name, I had to give him my actual last name. So I gave him that, and that was about as far as we got. And like, we literally were just like talking about which flight to book, and then he just like radio silent.
So that's so random, because obviously when you said he went radio silence, I'm like, oh my God, scam alert. Like maybe she
could. That is
right.
That is exactly where we were at too. Like, okay, so it's like me and my sister, we're both like very into this, and my sister's girlfriend. We all basically live in the same house at this point. It's like the three of us living together. So like, they are very in tune to what we call like my dating chronicles, and like every bad dating story they got, every like everything that was going on in my life, they knew every detail. Like we had code names for everybody I was dating so that we could keep them all in order, because some of their names were the same thing. So like it was really like chaotic, but it was entertaining nonetheless. So for this one, we were, because of the nature of the relationship and also because of like the traveling portion of it and the I'm literally going to be leaving our country to go to his country to vacation for weeks at a time, like we were all just very much more in tune to this one, because it was like freaking crazy. So we're all sitting there and he goes radio silent. So then like the next day, my sister's girlfriend asked me like, hey, like, have you heard from him recently? And I was like, actually, I haven't heard from him at all today. Like, I didn't get a good morning message, which for me was very unusual because he had always sent me a good morning message. And because our time difference was so drastic, he would be well awake to send me the message before I woke up. Like, there was like maybe a 4-hour time gap between like him staying up late and me staying up, or me getting up early for us to have like a full-fledged conversation. So not having a good morning message was really weird. But again, I brushed it off. I was like, maybe he had a rough day at work. You know, like, he owns this company, so it's not like he just walks in and clocks in. You know, like, if shit hits the fan, like, he has to be the one there. Like, he has to be the one handling everything. He has to be the one managing. Like, there's just a lot going on for him. So I'm very much giving him the benefit of the doubt. The reason I'm giving him so much benefit of the doubt is because I'm like, I really like you at this point. And also, I want to go to Italy. But also, I really, really like you at this point. So I'm trying not to be, like, clingy or, like, stalkerish-y and kind of just, like, be go with the flow and, like, chill about it. So for about 2 weeks, I heard nothing from him. Not a single message. His on WhatsApp, it tells you like last logged in on blah, blah, blah. And he had not logged in that entire 2 weeks. Like, he had not opened the app in that much time. And that's when I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, why are you gone for so long? So then the next day, like, literally it's like 2 weeks, the next day, we get a text message. And like on WhatsApp, it's a different text tone than like your Apple tones. So I heard it and literally like sparked. I was like, oh, finally, you're back. So I go to look at the message and the text message was in Italian. He knows that I don't speak Italian. So there would have never been a situation in which he would have sent me a message in Italian, because I'm like, I don't understand what you are saying. So me and my sister are like Google translating whatever the heck this message means, and it roughly Google translated to a ransom note asking for $500,000. At this point, there's like triggers going on. At the first time, I'm like, one, given the original nature of this relationship, you know that there's no way that I have $500,000. Secondly, why would I be the person you ask for that much money? Thirdly, you own a multi-million dollar company. When we searched his company, we were doing like his background, like we were like doing our due diligence as like women dating men. His company's legit. He legit is the owner. Like, everything tracks, which is one of the reasons why I trusted him to begin with. So I'm like, why this like 20-year-old girl? Why am I your target? Like, I would not be your target. So I responded back, who are you and what have you done with Yaya? Because there's no way that would have been him. And my sister at this point, my sister and her girlfriend are like, this is a scam. Like, at this point, like, just be gone with it. Like, this is a scam. This was all fake. Like, he was just trying to prey on your feelings. Like, that's all this is. This is nothing more than that. Like, this was just a very drawn out scam, like crazy drawn out scam. Like, just don't even worry about him anymore. And I'm insisting that something has to be wrong, because there's no way that for what is now like 4 or 5 months into a relationship that you've been texting me good morning every morning, you've been asking me about my job, you remember like the kids' names that I work with, like, you remember all of my little stories. Like, this is something that like a boyfriend would do. And even some boyfriends don't do that. Like, this is more than bare minimum. So why would you draw this out for so long? Literally listen to me talk about how like I have to like postpone paying my credit card because I have to pay the light bill. Like, so you know that there's no way that I have this influx of money, which is why I'm like, there's no way it's fake. Like, there's no way he's scamming me right now, because like, he's not stupid enough to think that I actually have $500,000 lying around. If I did, I would have been on my vacation already anyway. So I was concerned for him because of my feelings. And also, like, at this point, there's no one I can tell. Like, I can tell my siblings, but what are they going to do? Like, there's nothing that we can do here. And because of the taboo nature of our relationship, I can't contact your family. Like, I've seen photos of you with your family. I've seen, like pictures of like you with your friends on like going out to bar nights. Like, I know about you and your family, but like, I cannot reach out to them because like, what am I going to do? Try and hunt down your wife and be like, hey, they sent me a ransom note for your husband. Like, no, not doing that. So at this point, I was just like, I had no contact with his circle. And there was no one I could tell about this. And there was literally nothing I can do because I'm not even going to attempt to come up with $500,000 because, like, I'm not going to get that. Like, there's literally no way. So at that point, I was like, wow, this really sucks. And if it is scamming, like, round of applause because you really got one over me because, like, that was really drawn out. But I'm like, in my head, I'm still like, there's no way. In my sister's head, she's like, this is the craziest scam I've ever heard, right? So after that message, when I reply, like, I literally cannot do that. What have you done with him? They read the message and whoever read the message did not respond. So I was like, okay. So now at this point, I don't hear from him for months. Because of this, I move on with my life. I date other people. I literally, like, I don't forget that he existed, but, like, the date of our vacation rolls around and I get, like, a notification for, like, hey, like, you didn't check in. Like, are you still coming? Like, the Airbnb people are, like, texting in, like, the Airbnb messages and, like, you didn't check in. Are you still coming? And I'm like, no, sorry. Like, he should have canceled this. Like, we're not coming. Like, so sorry. Like, had to cancel all of the things. But obviously, he booked them. I just have the forwarded emails. So the most I could do is email all of those original emails that forwarded to him and be like, hey, sorry, we're not coming. Like, that's the best I can do to, I don't know, try and, like, have a part, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why I did it because it wasn't my money anyway. So it's not like I was saving myself any money. Then I don't hear from him for months. I start to, like, accept, like, my sister's idea of, like, this just being a big scam and kind of just, like, moving on. Because I'm like, there's literally nothing else I could do. Like, the Airbnb thing was kind of throwing me, like, why wouldn't you have canceled that? But still, I'm like, whatever, like, elaborate scam, it was probably a stolen card. Like, I don't know. So then out of nowhere, I get another message. I hear it go off and I'm like, oh, great. Now what? So I go to look at it and this time it's in English and it sounds like him. Like, you know, like everyone has their own like unique text tone. It sounded like him. And it was very, very unlike the Italian ransom note that he had sent me. And I was like, what the fuck happened? That's all I want to know. You disappeared from me for months. Our vacation is done and gone with. We lost out on the Airbnb, on the vacations, the super cute outfits that I bought for our vacation. Like, we lost out on all of it. So what happened? Where were you? Because before you do any cute schmoozing and asking me anything about what I'm doing, I want to know what the fuck you did. And at this point is when he explains that from the time that he stopped messaging to the time that he got back and messaged me this time, he'd been in France the entire time. And I was like, what? So he explained to me that the reason he didn't respond to that original message after I gave him my name and stuff is because he was on a physical plane. So he's like, I turned my phone into airplane mode. So obviously, like, I just wasn't getting any messages at that point. And I landed in France. And when he landed in France, like, he, like, every, like, the whole duration of his France trip changed. So I'm sitting here and I'm asking him, like, why did you go to France? What was your purpose? And that's when he told me that his dad had gone missing and that because we were talking about the vacation, he didn't want to bring it up because obviously we're having all this fun, lighthearted conversation, but he's like going through like something very real behind this, behind the scenes of our conversation. So he explained that like his dad had been missing for about 4 days at this point and he had got on a plane to go to France because that was the last known location of where his dad was supposed to have been. And I'm like, why was your dad in France? Oh, hi, kitten. Oh, sorry. So yeah. I was like, why is your dad in France? And he's like, well, he frequently does business there because his dad's company was like a, let's call it a textile company. So I don't like give any like real information about what he did. So like, let's say it's a textile company. So he was like doing business over in France. And because they live right on this border, it was nothing to constantly go back and forth to do business in France, like to just like be able to do all of your business in Italy, but then also be able to use France as another place for you to be able to do your business. Like, it's kind of like the benefit of living like right there on the border. He explained that like his dad had been there doing business, and when his mom called him worried because she hadn't heard from his dad, he being the eldest of his siblings and also being the most financially put together one, he felt like it was his job to go look for him, like to go do his due diligence and just see like, is something actually wrong or is he just very caught up and stuff? And because of course, financially, he can afford to just hop on a plane and go to France. He did. He went and he did that. And I was like listening to him tell me about how like he was over there looking for his dad. And I was like, whoa, so what about the ransom message? And he's like, what ransom message? And I'm like, what do you mean? What ransom message? In my text thread, I can scroll up and I can literally copy paste the message and send it back to you. So what I did was like, I held on it and I clicked reply. And then I was like, this message. And he's like, I don't have that message. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, that was not me. Like, I didn't send that. Like, I don't have that message in my phone at all. So now I'm confused because I'm like, what? Basically, at this point, I'm like really pushing for information and he's trying to like kind of keep me as in the dark as possible. But like, I'm a very inquisitive person. Like, I want to know why you left me. Like, I want to know, like, how you stay with me for months and then just randomly leave. So I'm pushing about this message. And that's when he admitted that the reason he had not contacted me and the reason that I got that message and everything is because he was being held in a government facility in France and he didn't have his phone. So the message that I got was from some kind of French authority person. And the reason he didn't have it is because they deleted the message off his phone before he ended up getting it back. Because they took his phone and everything when they put him into this room where he assumed that he was asking questions about his dad to get help, where actually they had put him in there to interrogate him about what he knew. That we get to that point. So he's talking to them. I'm asking him questions. Finally, we get to a point of where like, I can't just like keep getting bits and points. So I'm like, if you're not going to tell me the full truth of where you've been and what you've been doing, then I don't want to talk to you at all. Because beyond the vacation, you really hurt my feelings when you left. And I don't want to talk to you if you're not going to tell me the truth. Like anything less than the truth is just not good enough for me right now. He told me that they were asking him questions about his dad's company and like what information did he know about his dad's company. And he wasn't sure why they wanted to know about his company if their job was to help him find his dad. Because at this point, he was pretty sure like something bad had happened to him because he had never checked out of the hotel that he originally was in when he had gone to France. Like all of his stuff was still in the hotel room. He was just nowhere to be seen. So he can't find him. He's like looking and thinks that the authorities are trying to help him. They're obviously not helping him. They're interrogating him, asking him like what he knew about his dad. Why was his dad there? Why was he there? Like what, like just trying to figure out what the hell was going on with them and their family. So after about 24 hours of like being held at the facility, not getting any real help, feeling like he's a prisoner because he didn't have his phone. He didn't have any of his electronics. He didn't have anything. So he tried to leave, like he asked to leave and they wouldn't let him leave. And that's when it dawned on him. Something's wrong. Something is seriously wrong right now. Because now it's not like I'm sitting here waiting for help. It's I'm literally being held captive here. Like they will not let me leave this freaking room. So he realizes that they're holding him hostage and he realized that like they didn't have any information about his dad. All the information they had about him not being like findable, like him like just missing, is pretty much all the information that he gave them. They basically told him, we are going to let you go. You can get on a plane to go back to Italy, but you're not allowed to come back here. And he's like, what? So basically the French government is like, we will escort you to a plane that's putting you on a direct plane back to Italy. And if you ever step foot in our country again, you will be arrested. And he's like, what is going on here?
Like, why? So, what kind of questions are they asking about his dad? What?
So they're asking him what his dad did for a job. Why was he constantly coming back to France? Why did he have so many trips back and forth? Why? Like, just trying to get information on why his dad was there. Obviously, they know something that he doesn't know. Because they're obviously itching for a certain type of answer that he's not giving them. That's when he realized that something really bad had happened to his dad. And when he got back to Italy, the first thing he did was he got with their family lawyer. And his dad had a his dad's main job that was not his own company. So his dad had his own company, but his other job was he worked for the Italian government, which, according to Yaya, his dad's job was to be an IT guy. His job was computers, which to him made sense because they had computers all over their house. His dad was very savvy with stuff like that. Like, his entire life, all he's ever remembered is his dad being a computer guy. So it made complete and utter sense that, like, he would be in, like, he'd work for, like, the computer part of the government. Like, it's just a good, financially good government job. And then he had his own company on the side. Not a big deal. So he gets his own family lawyer, and they also are working with, like, a government lawyer because he is a government employee. So they're like, can you help us? Because he's missing. We need to find him, and we need all the help we can get, right? His lawyer's like, let me figure out what I can do. Like, they're like, let us figure out what we can do. They find a video of his dad in France. It's the last known location, which was this little sandwich shop. And they found a video of his dad walking out of the sandwich shop in France and getting pushed into a black van, driving off, and no cameras saw him after that. Nothing. No CCTV cameras. Nobody had any information. There was no tracking. His phone was not on him anymore. They ended up finding his phone somewhere else. But, like, literally nothing. Just vanished. Gone. And he's like, what the fuck happened? Like, why can we not find him? Why was he abducted at this point? Like, literally abducted. Like, he's freaking out. Like, absolutely freaking out. Because now it's not like, oh, he's missing. Now it's like two people literally took you. Like, this was deliberate. This wasn't like an accident. At this point, he's like, I have to go back to France. Like, I'm not going to just sit here knowing that my dad was taken and, like, not do anything about it. He contacts the French embassy, the embassy that works with, like, France and Italy. And he's like, I need to get back here because I need to find my dad. But if I get here, they will arrest me. And there's nothing I can do about it. Can you help? So I guess how, I don't really know how embassies work, but so I guess they helped him get on a plane to get here, escorted him directly from the plane to the embassy where he's going to be safe and taken care of and can't be touched. He gets there because his dad was an employee, like a government employee. That's why I guess they allowed him to come stay there and, like, protect him and stuff. He decides to go back to France and stays there and is just attempting to do whatever he can to find his dad in France. But now he's kind of like, the government knows he's there, but they can't touch him yet. So he's basically like, what is it, like a refugee or like a prisoner, whatever. He's like, he's stuck there. He cannot leave. Because the moment he leaves that protection, they can arrest him and he will, like, they can't do anything about it. So he's basically just staying there. He's working with them. He's working with the French police, like the lawyers and him and the embassy are all working with the French police. They're all trying to figure out what happened to his dad, which is when all of the red flags show up. The moment they start working with the police, it's like red flag, red flag, red flag, block, block, block. Like, he can't get any further. They're not giving him any information. They went from being super helpful to icing him out. It was very, very weird behavior because he's like, when I originally told you what was going on, you guys were so gung-ho about helping me find him. And now that you started your search, suddenly it's ice cold. No one's helping me. No one's talking to me. No one's doing anything. So at this point, that's when his lawyer comes in and is talking to him. He's like, hey, we need to have a conversation. I talked to the police. I've been talking with French government. We've been trying to figure stuff out. And unfortunately, you can't talk to your dad. And he's like, but you guys found him. And he's like, we found him, but he was arrested for espionage against the French government for Italy.
Okay, this is a stupid question. What's espionage?
So espionage is basically spy work. So basically they said, your dad is an Italian spy who's been spying on our country and has been reporting back to Italy, our border control and our customs control. And your dad was not coming here on textile business work. He's coming here to report back to Italy what our border controls are so that you can attack us.
Basically. Oh my God.
And he's like, there's no fucking way. He's like, there's no way that my dad is a spy. Like, I would know if my dad's a spy. Of course, everyone thinks that they would know if their dad was a spy, right? Like, you think you know your parents, but, like, a spy is a professional liar. Like, his entire life he's been doing this. Like, it's second nature at this point. Of course you wouldn't know. His lawyer's telling him that, like, there's proof. Like, there's irrefutable proof that this is what your dad was doing. And whether or not it was being used as, like, an attack mechanism or whether it was just being used as, like, a, like, just informational, either way, it is basically treason. It's basically like it's a terrorist crime to be a spy in another country, and you're not going to talk to him and you're not going to get him back. And there's no information that they're going to give him about the entire thing. Like, this is just what's happening. And this is just what you have to deal with because you're not getting it back. So his lawyer is telling him that, like, the best thing for him to do is just to go back to Italy and just go from there. So I am jaw dropped. I literally could have heard my jaw hit the floor as we're talking about this. And at this point, it's like, I want to be sensitive enough to not pry too much into information, but at the same time, I'm extremely curious. So I want to know all of the information. So I give him a break. I let him cool down from all of this stuff. Because, like, he's texting me real time. From the time that he got back from France, where they told him, like, you're not allowed to be here, up until this point of him telling me that his dad got arrested for espionage, everything has been in real time at this point. So, like, everything he's learning, I'm learning at the same time. So it's like we're going through this together.
Oh my
like
God.
We're learning all this stuff at the same time. So it's like all of this is just like drug out for a matter of, like, I want to say, like, a month at this point of us just trying to, like, figure all this stuff out. Me being supportive at this point, like, obviously the vacation's completely out of the question. Like, I'm just a concerned girlfriend at this point. So I, of course, have to update my sister and her girlfriend. I'm like, I gotta tell them everything. So at this point, it's still all considered hearsay because it's just me hearing it from him. There's no real proof that any of this happened. So I'm talking to them. It's still sister extremely skeptical about the arrest and, like, what it was for, and, like, she's still like very, very convinced that he's a scammer. But on the other hand, which is the girlfriend, she's like me, like, we're both super in it at this point. Like, we're both, like, full on eating this up. Like, we have to know everything. So at this point, I'm like, okay, let's think about this logically. If he was arrested for something that big, there has to be some kind of coverage on it. There has to be some kind of police record, some kind of arrest record, some kind of news article, something that I can find on my own without him that confirms that something this big actually happened. Because, like, if you're lying to me, this is a really elaborate lie. But if you're not lying to me, then, like, this is really bad. So, of course, I look it up. And basically, I just look up France, Italy, I look up his dad's name and then espionage, and like 12 fucking articles come up, like 12 articles, like news outlets. I click on one of them and there I see the French flag, the Italian flag, and his dad in cuffs with police officers on this article talking about everything that happened.
Oh my God. And you're just like, I just wanted to go to the Amalfi Coast.
Yes!
I just wanted a vacation. And here I am, like, Googling articles about this man's treason, espionage.
Yes, literally for him being a spy. We find hard proof that this is actually happening. Like, and I, mind you, before, like, I told you, like, I've seen photos of his family, his friends. Like, we had a very normal-ish kind of relationship. Like, so when I saw the photo of his dad with his name, I'm like, that's literally him. Like, that is legitimately, like, your dad. Like, I have seen current photos of you as you are now with your dad, and facial recognition, like, they are the same person. And I'm like, this is insane. Insane. At this point, I feel so bad for him because this is not a joke or, like, a lie or a scam. All of this is just factual truth, and he's genuinely going through it. So at this point, asked me, like, what was the ransom note then? That's, like, the thing that just stuck out the most. And I asked him about it again because it just wasn't making sense to me. And I guess the reason they messaged me is because, one, I have an American number, and they're like, let's just see like what we could do, you know, like how badly does she want to get him back? And also, I guess the reason they texted me and not like his wife is because like I was texting him. I was constantly messaging him. I was worried about him. And given the relationship he had with his wife, like they were roommates, if he left and was off doing whatever he was doing, she didn't care. She's just like, you'll be back when you be back. But she didn't have a job. She had a credit card, you know, like whatever she wanted to do, she just went and did it. So it's like, I guess I was like relationship one, that they assumed that I was the one in the relationship with him because I was the one constantly texting him like, babe, where are you? Are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I guess that's why they messaged me instead of like her. He was really confused about that. He was actually really mad about that. I vividly remember that I had never seen him mad before. But he was actually genuinely upset that somebody had texted me from his phone. And that was just wild. So at this point, like, all of the skepticalness of his story was just out the window. Because there wouldn't have been news about it if it didn't happen. This basically, like, just turned everything upside down. So now it's like, he's telling me, like, there's no way this happened. Like, he's still hardcore trying to fight this.
Did they ever get him back?
No, absolutely not. He tells the police that it had to be like a misunderstanding. He wanted to speak with his dad. There's no way he committed this crime. The police are like, we're not going to do that. We can't, like, there's nothing that you can do. They have irrefutable proof that your dad did this. They're not letting him go. There's literally nothing else that we can do for you. And because now that his, not necessarily mission, but now that like his reason for being at the embassy is like, kind of confirmed, like it's like there's like a like there's an end to this, like you came here looking for your dad, your dad's been arrested by French government, you're not getting him back, there's nothing more we can do for you, we can't take him out of their custody because of the nature of the crime, like there's nothing we can do. That being said, we can't protect you anymore, so if you choose to stay here, you cannot stay in our building, you have to be somewhere else, and if you are found somewhere else, the French government will take you and you will not come back. They will keep you because you deliberately went against what they said. So at this point, he has to go back home to Italy. Like, he has to go back home. He has to basically figure out his life again. His mom really needed him to come back because now that she knows what's going on, he knows what's going on. She's like, I really need your support. So eventually he kind of just went back to Italy and resumed his life. And to my knowledge, he's still trying to find a way to even so much as like get in contact to talk to him. But he literally cannot go back to France where his dad's being held. There's nothing he can do about it. He just had to like go back and resume his life because like his company got to a point where like it couldn't survive without him there anymore. Like he had to come back and like be hands-on. And his mom needed his support. Like, he couldn't just stay there chasing something that he couldn't get to. Like, there was no way he was going to get there. Like, I'm pretty sure, not positive, but I'm pretty sure that, like, if you're arrested for espionage, that's like a life thing. Like, you don't get out from that. And that being said, his dad was, like, in his 60s. Even if it's, like, a 30-year thing, like, that's still life for him. He's not getting his dad back. His dad is still being, to my knowledge, his dad is still being held in France. And he's back in Italy just kind of trying to figure things out. And because of everything that he was going through, and because he was trying to get his life back together, we kind of casually just fell off. Because it's like, I had already, by the time that he had come back, I had already started moving on with the rest of my life. Like, I had already started dating other people and, like, forming, like, real relationships with other people. At the time that he came back, I was already, like, exited from, like, the sugaring world. So it's like, I wasn't even okay with re-entering that world again. So it's like, even if he did want to do a vacation, I am now very aware of the, drama that comes along with being with him now. And it's like, it makes me feel a little unsafe to know that he's that close to like just chaotic government problems. I don't want to be caught up in something else that could possibly happen in another country where I know nothing. Like, he's the only thing protecting me and I know nothing. I'm not doing that. That just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, you'll eventually be able to go to Italy on your own dime and not have to deal with any kind of French government interference would be really nice. Yeah. So you're done with the sugaring world. So you're like, I don't want to do it. Did you ever have any success successful experiences with like any sugaring websites, or was this like your first dip in the world and you're kind of like, yeah, this is too much for me?
Because I was so chaotic at 21, I was kind of like dipping in all of them. Like, it's like that was the travel site, but then I also had like a like other sites that I was on. I was talking to him, but I also had another like sugar daddy, if you will, and that was like a full-fledged relationship. I mean, like they like we did like little mini vacations, like we went on trips together. He bought me stuff like all the time. Like that one was like a very, very full relationship. I will say that one, I did very much like fall in love. That one was kind of like I didn't fall in love with him until after Yaya disappeared. When he disappeared for that really long period of time, like for months where he was gone, and I was like, I just have to move on with my life. That's when I was dating this other guy that was a sugar relationship. It started off very sugar-ish and turned into very not sugar-ish. That was the one where like I really kind of fell for him. And that one was very successful up until it wasn't. That one was kind of a shocker because I kind of found out that he was married. I didn't know that to begin with. So when I found that out, that was kind of like a huge deal breaker for me. I was like, I am not going to allow myself to be that emotionally attached to you just to not be with you. That was a lot. I mean, like, you can't spend the night at my house or like try to have me come over and stay the night at your house and then like buy me presents all the time and take me to like business things. That was the thing that was really what shook me with that one was he would take me to business events with him around people he worked with
Who knew he had a wife?
who knew he had a wife, and they were all just like okay with it. And I was like, if this is not the most boys boy shit I've ever seen in my life, what?
Yeah, is that when you decided to kind of back out of that world and just
Yeah.
stick to more traditional relationships?
Yeah, that's the one where like I kind of like took a step back because I was like that one hurt really bad because I was very much not in the know for that one. So I was kind of like fuck it, whatever, like I'm just not even gonna deal with it anymore. So that's when I took a step out of the sugaring world. And when I took a step out of the sugaring world is when like I think it was like maybe 2 months later I met my husband. That kind of like totally through that entire world and dating and everything else out the window.
When you first told him that you used to be a part of the sugaring world, was that met with judgment or anything? Or was he like, oh no, girl, get your bag?
He did not care. He's such a weirdo. Not like in a bad way, but like he so much did not care. He was like, all right, cool. Are you still doing it? And I was like, no. He's like, do you still have money from it? I was like, I don't really do like the cash exchange thing. I did more of like the gifts, vacations, pay bills kind of thing. If you're going to pay my electric bill this month and my water bill and the gas bill and my portion of rent, that sounds like plenty enough for me. Like the cash exchange really wasn't like my forte. It didn't really make me, the idea of it didn't really make me feel good. But like you doing all these nice things for me made me feel good. So I was like, all right, cool. So I was like, no, not particularly. He's like, dang, that sucks. We could have paid for part of our wedding with that, but whatever. So he was so chill about it, did not care, did not change his perspective whatsoever. He didn't treat me differently or think about me any differently because of it. He was just like, was it fun? Like he was curious about it because he had never like heard somebody like actually, like he had never known someone who had actually like been deep into that world. So he had like questions and curiosities, but as far as like judgment, he holds none at all whatsoever. I think he'd be more judgeful because they were married and pursuing their relationships than he was with me. Because on my end, he's like, I totally see why you do that. Like, if I was a girl, I'd totally do that. Like, honestly, if I could find a sugar mama, I probably would do it. And so, like, he totally understood my portion of it, especially because he's such a money guy. Like, the man is like ridiculously financially advanced and thinks about everything like 12 steps ahead, which is really great for me because I'm the complete opposite. I'm like, I pay everything on the exact day that they're due. I barely know what a savings account is. Like, I don't save money like that. Like, I save money for the point of buying something that I already know in my head I need. Like, I was so far not what he is. So, marrying him was such a great idea because it's like he was so financially stable. So, I was like, okay, whatever. So, he totally got it. He totally understood it. He was fine with it. He didn't really care. He was just like, it's kind of weird that married men want to. Also, the age gap. That was the other thing he didn't like. He didn't like that it was like older married men who wanted to like mess around with a 21-year-old.
Well, looking back on this whole experience, I don't know. This is usually the part of the episode where I'm like, what did you learn? But this is just like a crazy freaking situation. Do you have any regrets, or is this just like a cool experience for you to look back on?
I think it was really cool and really crazy. I think that there was a lot of validation in knowing that he wasn't lying to me. I think that probably would have really hurt me as if like all of that was like a genuine lie. But the moment I found out that like his entire story tracked, like everything was like confirmed. That's when I was like, wow, like I really feel bad that like you're going through this. But at the same time, it's like, I feel very valid in my feelings now. Cause it's like, when I was falling for you, I was actually falling for you. Like you as a person, like you, as you are, as you said you are, like I wasn't falling for some scam, you know? So that was very validating. I hate that he had to go through that. But as far as me, like, I just learned, I don't know, because I wouldn't even say be more cautious, because I feel like I was very cautious in that relationship. I feel like I pretty much did everything I was supposed to do correctly. It was just freaking wild.
Well, do you have any words of advice for, I guess, girls that are still in the sugaring world? And do you even recommend it? Like, is it something that you just steer people away from now?
If you do it the right way, it can be very benefiting. I would say that like, it don't do it if you need it. And what I mean by that is like, if you're in a tight position for money, do not use sugaring as your way to do it. Because there are some guys on there, they're called Johns, because they literally just go in there to prey on girls who don't have money. Like, it's not a very safe place if that's what you're doing it for. But if you're doing it for the spoiling, you're doing it for the entertainment purposes of what comes with the sugaring world. If you're doing it for the mentoring, because truly originally sugaring was meant for like women to find mentors to help better them, like not just financially, but also like in the business world. And like, while yes, there is the sex aspect of it, there's also like an actual deep community in it. And it's not a bad thing to do if you're doing it the right way. Also, you can never vet someone too hard. If you cannot confirm that their name, their job, and their income is what they say it is, don't even mess with them. If they are not giving you information, or like they're only asking you questions about yourself, but they never, ever, ever want to open themselves up, don't deal with it, because it's not going to end well. It's always going to end in a very bad place. So just do your research, do your due diligence, protect yourself. And until you know for a solid fact that you can trust this person and who they are and who they say they are, and you FaceTime, for dear Lord, please freaking FaceTime these people for, like, before you do any kind of meet and greets, just actually have a video chat with them so that you confirm that they are who they say they are, and then confirm all the information they've like, told you to Google, who can verify that information that they've told you. As long as you do it safely, and you do your due diligence, and you're just a smart woman about it, then the sugar world's not bad.
On Thursday, we'll have another breakdown bonus for you where we react to this wild episode. This one was a crazy one. Definitely not your typical breakup breakdown episode, but of course, you can tune in for that, and I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.